Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
So we will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 6 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 6 through 15. And the title of the message this morning is Thanksgiving Giving. Thanksgiving Giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 15. So pray for the service this morning. Pray for me as I preach, please. And yourselves as you hear. I always find I get more out of a service if somebody's preaching, if I pray for myself, that I will get something out of it. Because God wants to speak to us all. And pray for the other ministries going on. Pray for the children's church downstairs. And just for, you never know when you want to be trusting when you leave your children in someone's care. And at Harmony, we have a child protection policy. And we background check all of our children's workers. And so you can be confident that your children are being taken care of, and that we are looking out for the welfare of your children. And so pray for that ministry as that's going on. Thanksgiving Giving is the title of the message today, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. And I'm just going to, well, let's pray, and then after we pray, I'll show you a few verses that have to do with Thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in this service this morning. I do pray that you would forgive us for our sins. I pray that you would bless us, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please bless me as I preach. Anoint me to preach your word today. Fill me with your Holy Ghost. I pray for those that are saved that you would let us learn from this passage. And those that don't know you as Savior, I pray that you convict them and save their souls today by faith in Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving Giving. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Giving of thanks to God. Again, in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 9. For the administration of this service, not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also for many thanksgivings unto God. And again, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And so, thanksgiving, giving. The first thing, by way of introduction, I want to say is many years ago, I was on a mission trip to Mexico. It was actually while I was a teenager, I think. It was years ago. And somebody said to me, one of the other teenagers there said to me, at that time I was in the Presbyterian church, I was a Presbyterian before I became a Baptist. And one of the teenagers said to me, I went to a Baptist church, and she said, Baptists only preach on two things. This was her view of Baptists. She said, Baptists either preach on money or they preach on hell. Now, I typically preach through books of the Bible. And so I just preach what the Bible says. But in this case, this passage today has to do with a missions offering that the church took up. So in a way, I'm going to be preaching on money today. So if you are visiting, you can say that preacher preached on money. That's all they ever preach on. And if you come back in a couple of weeks, then I'm going to preach a message on hell because it has to do with evangelism. So you can, if you come twice, then you'll hear one on money and one on hell, and then you can say that's all they preach on there is money and hell. So if you come regularly, you'll finally preach the whole Bible here. So, but this is what this passage is on today, a missions offering. So the first thing, this chapter is about a missions offering. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 1 says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Now, we're not going to read all those verses, but what Paul is talking about for several chapters in 2 Corinthians, he has been talking about an offering that was being taken up by numerous churches that was going to be pulled together and sent to Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem had been persecuted, and the saints at Jerusalem, at that church, had become impoverished. So they were poor, and they were persecuted. Because of that, the church could not operate as it needed to operate. And so the other churches, Paul went to these Gentile churches that he had started, and they were pooling funds to send to support the poor saints in Jerusalem. Thus, what we're seeing is a model for how missions offerings are supposed to work. Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission, and he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, it would be insane if God gave a great commission and told the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize and disciple converts and start churches, and if he didn't give a way to fund that. Obviously, God had to give a way to fund that. And so what we see in the New Testament, there's a concentration on this offering at Jerusalem, or at the Gentile churches that was sent to Jerusalem, which is a model for funding of missions, and we're going to talk about that today. So this was a missions offering for the saints at Jerusalem. "For as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." Notice it was not a ministry for the saints at Corinth, but it was a ministry to the saints. That is, the saints at Jerusalem. No study of evangelism would be complete without looking at missions. This chapter is about a missions offering taken up by Gentile churches for the poor, persecuted Jewish believers at Jerusalem. Now, the interesting thing is, originally the Jews went to the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles will go to the Jews and help them by way of this offering. And that's what you're seeing there. Originally, where did the gospel start? It started in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ died outside the city of Jerusalem. He rose from the dead, and Pentecost happened at Jerusalem. The church started at Jerusalem, and the gospel originally went out from Jerusalem to the Gentiles. Now these Gentile churches are going to minister to the church at Jerusalem. So the Gentiles go to the Jews. This chapter is about a missions offering. We've seen that. Number two, this offering was not a tithe. This offering was not a tithe. Now, does anybody know how much a tithe is? 10%. A tithe is 10%. This offering was not a tithe. I'm going to show you that. Verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, that's using a farming illustration to talk about missions giving, but what it's saying is, if you sow a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit, and if you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. Now, how many of you farm? Oh, come on, we're in the country. Somebody's got to farm. Jimmy farms. Don't you farm, Miss Shirley? Shirley farms. All right. Now, if you go out in your garden, my wife farms. If you go out in your garden and you sow one seed in the ground, you're going to get about one plant, right? Okay. All right. Now, if you take a bunch of seeds and put them in the ground, you'll get a bunch of plants. All right. That's the idea here. "He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, here's the interesting thing. 10%, a tithe, is a fixed amount. But this here is talking about something that fluctuates depending on how much you sow. You can sow a little, you can sow a lot. God's not telling you how much to sow. He's just saying, as far as the mission offering is concerned, if you give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And if you give sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. So it's not a tithe. Now, this idea of sowing and reaping is throughout the Bible. There are laws of sowing and reaping which do not change. And this is one of those laws. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 24, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet." but it tendeth to poverty. Now, you may not believe this, but this is the truth. There are people who scatter, who, this again is using farming as an illustration of giving. There are people who give, who scatter, and yet they get more. There are people who are stingy, that withhold. And the Bible says that withhold more than is meat. Now, what that means is they withhold more than is necessary. Now, there's a necessary amount to withhold. You need to have savings, right? You got to have an emergency fund in case something happens. But there is withholding amount more than is necessary. There are some people that are just stingy. My friend was one time telling me about a church that he preached at down below Atlanta, I believe. And that church, they had a huge savings, a huge fund. They had like $500,000 in the bank. And he said, why don't you use some of this to give it to missions? They had a new building. Everything was nice. They had $500,000 in the bank. And he said, why don't you use some of this? You could start a missions program. You could do this and that. And they said, we can't spend that. We might have an emergency come up. Now, think about that. That's withholding more than is meat. And there are some people that do that. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tends to poverty. Now, here's what people think. People think, okay, if I keep everything I earn, then, after I pay my bills, if I keep it all, then I'll get rich. But that's not the way it works. If you give, you'll increase. This is God's law. If you give, you'll increase. If you withhold more than is necessary to withhold, it tends to make you poor. And that's just God's law. Look in Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, again, this is using an illustration, but the person who is liberal with giving to God, that soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, I'm using these verses because they pertain to giving, not a tithe, but to giving what the Lord moves on your heart to give. And so a tithe is a fixed amount, and this is not. Matthew Henry said this, it is possible that a man may grow rich by prudently spending what he has, may scatter in works of piety, charity, and generosity, and yet may increase. Nay, by that means may increase, as the corn is increased by being sown. Now, I'm not one of those guys on TV. I do not believe that if you give, that you'll become rich and God will give you a Mercedes and God will give you all that kind of stuff. That's what the guys on TV believe. And they are rich, a lot of them. But because everybody gives all their money to them. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible doesn't teach that you'll be rich if you give. But the Bible does teach that if you give, and especially this missions offering, that God will bless you and take care of you. And we've all seen that to be true that have done this. My dad was very generous, and I myself was taught to be generous. And so I gave and gave and gave, and I tithed and did all that. And God prospered me until one day when I lost my job. And then I lost nearly everything I had. And so that was a big test from God during that time. And so during that time, what I'm telling you is you can tithe and give and still get in bad economic circumstances. Okay? This is not to say you'll become rich if you tithe and give. But God took care of me during that time. And I gave what I could through that time, and then God gave me a job and then a better job, and he put me back in the ministry, and he's taking care of me. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying God will take care of you, and I'll show you that from the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man, this is this missions offering for the poor saints at Jerusalem, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, this is not 10%, it's whatever amount you purpose in your heart to give. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. This is not a tithe, this is a faith promise missions offering. This is where you pray, where you say, God, what do you want me to give? And God tells you what to give to missions through the church, and then you give what God tells you to give. Notice what the Bible says. Not grudgingly or of necessity. It's not a situation where somebody's going to come to you and say, you didn't fulfill your pledge. You know, like Roger, when he was up here earlier leading the choir, and he said, if you don't sing, I'm going to come down and sit with you. We like to have a good time here, by the way. But nobody's, the faith promise mission offering doesn't work like that. You don't sign a pledge card, and then if you don't give, we come to your house and say, we're going to collect what you pledge. It doesn't work like that. It's anonymous. It's between you and God. It's you talking to God saying, God, what do you want me to give? And that's what these people did. These people met with God, and every man was to give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, not because they're forced to give, but because they want to. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, God will take your money if you're mad, too, but God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. God wants you to be happy giving. And you can't be happy giving if you're being forced to give. You understand that? The only way you're going to be happy is if it's something that you met with God about and God laid it on your heart and then you do it willingly. That's the only way you're going to be happy. I never have been happy when people take my money. Have you? Every year when I have to pay taxes, I'm not happy. I pay my taxes, but I'm not happy. So the church, this offering, this missions offering is supposed to be something that you give cheerfully. So we said, number one, this chapter is about a missions offering. Number two, this offering was not a tithe. Number three, this was not how the church at Corinth paid its bills. Now, pay attention to this closely. This was not how the church at Corinth paid its bills. None of this offering was going to the church at Corinth. It was all going to Jerusalem. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth and saying, hey, you guys, if we were to read the verses above this, Paul's saying, hey, you guys, a year ago, you said you were going to give to this offering, this missions offering for the poor saints at Jerusalem. All right? We're going to come and take it up. Now, I've been bragging to the churches over in Macedonia that the church at Corinth is ready to give. I've been bragging to these people, and I've bragged on you guys so much that these people are going to give now. So the church at Macedonia is going to give. So the church at Macedonia is already giving. Now we're going to come to you, and I would hate to bring people from Macedonia and find that I've been lying and that you guys have not given. So Paul is saying, I want you guys to make sure that you fulfill the promise that you made. But this offering had nothing to do with going to the church at Corinth. It was all going to Jerusalem. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God's going to take care of you. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Where was this offering going? It was going to the poor. It was going to the poor saints in Jerusalem. It was a missions offering. It was not going to the church at Corinth. All missions comes down to the local church. And local churches must have money to operate. Essentially, the church at Jerusalem had become impoverished because of persecution and economic hardships. So these donations would help the church members and the church to function as it ought. Now this brings the question of how did the church at Corinth fund its operations? If they were taking up this money for the church at Jerusalem, how did they fund their operations? Well, I'm going to tell you how more than likely they funded their operations, because the Bible does not say for certain. In fact, every verse we read in the New Testament in the pastoral epistles that deal with taking up offerings, almost everyone has to do with taking up this offering for the saints at Jerusalem. It has to do with a missions offering. So how did the churches fund their operations? Here's more than likely how they did. The church was started with what group of people? Who was the church started with? What kind of people? Jews or Gentiles? Talk to me. Jews. It was started with Jews. All right? What were the Jews taught to do under the law? They went to their synagogues. What were they taught to do to support the synagogue? To tithe. That's right. All right? That more than likely is what they carried over into the New Testament. And that's what most churches do today, is they're supported by tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." And these people would have known this verse, "that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, most preachers, when they preach on giving, and especially tithing, this is the way I grew up, at least, once I started going to a Baptist church. The Presbyterians had a lot of rich people, so they had plenty of money. But when I started going to the Baptist church, this is the kind of preaching I got. The Baptist preacher would say, "You'd better tithe." And he'd say, "If you don't tithe, all kinds of bad things will happen." At least this is the way they do it. They do it like God's the mafia or something. And they talk about, they tell stories about, well, this guy's car broke down because he didn't tithe. And this guy got sick because he didn't tithe. And they talk about God like he's the mafia. And he's going to come by and get you if you don't tithe. You know, and that's the kind of preaching I heard. But what does the Bible say here in Malachi 3:10? And what's the emphasis in the New Testament? "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Test me. See if I don't do what I say I'll do. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Test God. Harmony Baptist Church, we give to missions, and that's what this message is about. But just like the church at Corinth was given to missions, but they had to pay their own bills, Harmony has to pay its own bills. By the way, if you're a guest here, this is not for you. This is for our members. But as a member of Harmony Baptist Church, we have an obligation, all of us, to pay the bills of this church. Amen? It's our obligation. And so through our tithes and offerings, we do that. But it shouldn't be a grudging thing. It should be something that we test God with. God says, "Test me, prove me. See if I don't open the windows of heaven. See if I don't pour you out a blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it." Listen, God's shovel's a lot bigger than your spoon. You give a little bit, God's able to take care of your needs and give you abundantly. He's able to take care of you. Do you think God would tell you, do you think God would start the church, Jesus would die for the church and not give away to fund the church? No. But God says, "You provide for my house and take care of it, and I'll provide for you." Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Now, we don't know much about the new wine, but I'll tell you this, or the barns either. I don't know if anybody here has a barn. Does anybody have a barn? All right, Jeff has a barn. Roger has a barn. Very good. But God said, in this day and age, the people were harvesting and they were farmers, and God said, "Hey, take care of my house. Take care of the Lord. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wines." Really, if you think about it, God says in the Bible, "I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. If I needed anything, I wouldn't ask you." That's what he said to the Jews. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't need our money. All right? So really, this method of giving of tithing and faith promise giving and doing offerings, God promises you blessings if you do that. And it's really more for us. It's a test of faith. It's something that we do and we get to see God work in our own lives. So this chapter is about a missions offering. This offering was not a tithe. This was not how the church at Corinth paid his bills. Number four, God will bless the believer who gives to missions. God will bless the believer who gives to missions. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Sounds like that if they give to this missions offering, God's going to bless them. The devil's lie is that God will make you poor if you give. In fact, God will meet your needs and bless you. Look what Jesus Christ said in Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. How will it be given to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken, running over. The other day I was doing, actually it was yesterday, I was doing some laundry. It may have been the day before, it doesn't matter, I rarely do laundry. But I was doing some laundry, and I had a lot of laundry. And I was getting it out of the dryer and trying to put it in this laundry basket. And it wouldn't all fit into the laundry basket. And so I put it all in the laundry basket and it wouldn't fit. And so what did I do? I got and I crammed it down in the laundry basket. And then I put more laundry on top of that. And then I crammed that down and put some more on top of that. And what did that do? Well, it wrinkled all the clothes, but what it did was it allowed me to get more into that basket. Now, that's what God is saying. God is saying, how am I going to give back to you? Remember, God's shovel's a lot bigger than your spoon. How am I going to give back to you? You give to me, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to give to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall mean given to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In other words, God's saying, if you're stingy with God, God will be stingy with you. If you're generous with God, God will be generous with you. Amen? 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The Word of God is saying there, and Paul is saying to these Corinthians through the Holy Spirit, God who ministers seed to the sower, he's saying, it's kind of a blessing he's given there. He's given them a blessing. He's saying, now God who ministers seed to the sower, he will minister bread for your food. In other words, you help these poor people to have food to eat, God's going to give you food to eat. And multiply your seed sown. You sow some to them, he's going to multiply that seed. And increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's going to give you a good harvest. Matthew Henry said, can a man lose by doing that with which God is pleased? And the answer, of course, is no. He is able to make all grace abound towards us, and to abound in us, to give a large increase of spiritual and of temporal good things. He can make us to have enough in all things and to be content with what we have. God gives not only enough for ourselves, but that also wherewith we may supply the wants of others. And this should be a seed to be sown. We must show the reality of our subjection to the gospel by works of charity. This will be for the credit of our profession and to the praise and glory of God. Let us endeavor to copy the example of Christ, being unwearied in doing good and deeming it is more blessed to give than to receive. Stennett Ballew tells the story. Brother Stennett Ballew, he preaches a lot in this area, North Carolina, other places, and he preaches on missions a lot. And he tells the story. He had preached a missions conference and he taught on faith promise giving. And there was a couple in the church who had never given to missions before. And they owned a store that installed blinds. And they decided they would give to Faith Promise Missions. And they prayed about it and determined, and they told him privately, they said, we've determined that we're going to give $300 a month to Faith Promise Missions. That's a lot of money, $300 a month. But they said, this is what the Lord's laid on our hearts. We're going to do it. And he said, 2 days later, the school system called this man and said, we want to give you a $10,000 contract to do our blinds and upkeep for a year. And so God not only gave him back the $300 a month, but he multiplied what he gave. And so that kind of a thing can happen. Stint Blue tells another story. I don't remember. I tried to find this and I can't find it, so I'm doing it from memory. But he tells a story about a lady who I think she was blind and she was older and she didn't have a way to work. And so she just lived on government assistance. And she came to Brother Blue after the service and said, look, I really want to do Faith Promise, but I don't know how I could possibly do it. But she said, God seems to want me to give $10 a month, and I'm going to try to find a way to give $10 a month. And so he said, well, sister, you know, if you're able to do it, that'd be great. But, you know, just do what you can, follow God, and let God lead you. And so he came back to the church the next year and found that the lady who was blind and older had been able to get a job, a little job. And she said, Brother Blue, I got this job, and instead of giving $10 a month, you know what I've been able to do? I've been able to give $10 a week. He said the next year he went back, she'd increased it to $20 a week. Now, that's a miracle of God, you see. But that's God taking care and providing when he lays something on your heart. The Life Application Study Bible says, God gives us resources to use and invest for him. Paul uses the illustration of seed to explain that the resources God gives us are not to be hidden foolishly devoured or thrown away. Instead, they should be cultivated in order to produce more crops. When we invest what God has given us in his work, he will provide us with even more to give in his service. So we saw number one, this chapter is about a missions offering. Number two, the offering was not a tithe. Number three, this was not how the church at Corinth paid its bills. Number four, God will bless the believer who gives to mission. And finally, number five, faith promise giving results in thanksgiving. We're talking about thanksgiving giving today. Faith promise giving results in thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9:11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving to God comes through us. You know how it comes through us? Because when the church at Corinth gave to support the poor saints at Jerusalem, when those saints got that money and were able to buy food to eat and were able to do things with the church, when they got that money, they praised God. They thanked God for it. And so the money that they sowed in Corinth actually caused that faith promise offering resulted in God being praised. My wife and I used to be missionaries. And we served on in Northern Ireland and in various places. My wife lived in Peru for a while, and we were able to travel to a lot of foreign countries and preach the gospel. Whenever money came in to meet a need, I remember one time I went up to a meeting. It was right after we came back from Northern Ireland. I went up to a meeting in Ohio, and I don't remember the name of the church. I don't want to remember it, but I went up there, spent money on a plane ticket, had to rent a car, got up there, and you know what the church gave me? Nothing. Nothing. Now they did put me up in a motel overnight, and that was nice. But I didn't have any money to pay for the things. And so I had a meeting in Florida. So we flew back down to Atlanta, drove, got our car, and drove down to Florida. And you know how much all this had cost? It cost nearly $500. You know how much the church in Florida gave me? $500. Praise the Lord. What do you think I did when I got that check? Do you think I said, oh, well, how nice? No. I got in the car, got that check, and said, praise God. Look at this. God has met our need. And that's what happens when the missions offering is given and the missionaries get it through the local church, or when these poor saints in Jerusalem got this money so that the church at Jerusalem could do what it needed to do, this missions offering, they were praising God, but being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. 2 Corinthians 9:12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. He's just saying the same thing here. He's saying, look, your offering does two things. It supplies the need of the saints in Jerusalem, and it results in them thanking God and praising God. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Now, this is a complex verse. And it's not only complex in English, it's complex in Greek as well. It's hard to understand. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. John Gill says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, that is, the poor saints at Jerusalem having a specimen, a proof, an experience of the liberality of the Gentile churches ministered to them by the apostles. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration. In other words, the ministration is the ministry of giving. The experiment was that these people at Jerusalem, who were Jews, got to test the Gentile churches and see if they were real. They got to test them and see if they were for real. And these Gentile churches, when they sent this offering to these poor saints at Jerusalem, the poor saints at Jerusalem said, hey, they're for real. They really are saved. They really responded to the gospel. These Gentiles who before were separated from the Jews, these Gentiles really love us. And they got to test that. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. They glorify God and thank God for your obedience to the gospel and for the money you gave. That's what that's saying. 2 Corinthians 9:14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. In other words, these people in Jerusalem are praying for you. They long to see you. They long for you to be blessed because of what you've done for them. And they're praising God for the exceeding grace of God in you. Because it was only the grace of God in the believers in Corinth that made them care about some poor people in Jerusalem. You understand, it's only the grace of God in you when you give to the missions offering that makes you care about a missionary who's serving in South Africa or some country in North Africa or is serving in China or serving somewhere overseas. It's only the grace of God in you that makes you care. And it's only the grace of God in you that makes you give your money. Because there's a lot of things we could do with our money, but when we give it to missions, that's the grace of God in us. And then Paul ends it by saying, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Incidentally, God's unspeakable gift is the exceeding grace of God in you in verse 14. That's what His unspeakable gift is. This gift is unspeakable. This gift is so great that Paul cannot find the proper words in human language to express it. So he probably coined this word especially for it. In other words, this word this word that's translated unspeakable in our Bibles, it doesn't appear in other places. And so Paul probably invented the word because he could not find words to express it. You know, when William Tyndale in the 1500s, the early 1500s, when William Tyndale translated the New Testament from Greek so that English-speaking people could read it, which for that crime he was hunted down and strangled to death and then burned at a stake for translating the Bible. But when he did that, there was no English word for Passover. So in the New Testament, Tyndale just translated Easter or Paschal Feast, Paschal Lamb. He translated it basically with the word Easter. But when he went to the Old Testament and started translating the Old Testament, he came up on the Hebrew words that literally meant to pass over, and he said, I can't just translate this Easter. There's got to be a better word. And he couldn't find one in English, so he invented one. And he invented the word Passover and put it in the Bible. And now we use it today in both the Old and New Testaments. And this is basically what Paul did. Paul's writing, and he says, this gift is so amazing. This grace of God that's causing this giving. Christ working through these Gentile believers that they're giving to these Jews, that they're giving this missions offering. It's so amazing, I can't express it. So he just invents a word. Unspeakable. One of Paul's gems, Robertson says, one of Paul's gems flashed out after the somewhat tangled sentence of 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 14, like a gleam of light that clears the air. Words fail Paul to describe the gift of Christ to and for us. He may have coined this word, as it is not found elsewhere except in ecclesiastical writers, save as a variant. So Robertson's just saying the same thing as Paul may have coined this word or invented the word unspeakable. It's an unspeakable gift. So in summary, thanksgiving giving. When we give, it causes giving of thanks to God. When we give, it causes giving of thanks to God. Talking about the missions offering, the way that missions is supported. When we give, it causes giving of thanks to God. Number two, God will bless you for giving. He'll bless you for giving. That doesn't mean He's going to give you again. It doesn't mean He's going to give you a Mercedes and a big mansion to live in. But God's going to bless you for giving. Number three, do not let missions giving be a substitute for supporting your local church. Don't say, well, God's laid this amount on my heart, so instead of giving my tithe this month, I'm going to give this. The church has to be supported too. We got to pay the bills. So support your local church. The faith promise offering is over and above your regular giving to the church. And number four, let blessings flow to you and pass through you. God's going to give things to you. Let that pass through you. I'm going to close by saying this. In a few weeks, we're going to have our meeting, our conference. And we're going to talk about what we want to give for the Christmas offering this year for missions. We do not yet support missionaries on a monthly basis with the Faith Promise giving. And I hope we will do that in the future, but we don't yet do that. But what we do is we give to missions in the two offerings a year. All right? Now, when we meet to talk about that this year, I hope that we won't just sit there and just pull an amount out of the air and say, this is what we're going to give. But I hope each one of you that's a member of this church, I'm not talking to our visitors, you don't have to give a thing today. You're our guest. But I'm talking to the members of this church. I hope that each member of this church will pray and say, God, what do you want me to give? Individually, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to give to missions? I hope each one of us will pray and say, what do you want me to give? So that when we meet together, we will be making a decision based on prayer. and based on seeking God personally for how God wants us to personally get involved and not just making a snap decision in conference. I hope we'll be making a decision. Because here's the thing. If you pray about it and you say, God, what do you want me to give? And God puts an amount on your heart and you give that amount that God has personally put on your heart, something wonderful happens. You get to see God give that back to you. You're going to see God work in a miraculous way where God gives that back to you and multiplies it, where God blesses you for obedience to Him. But that only happens if you pray about it, and every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And when we send that money to the convention and then it goes out to our missionaries, and all these churches all over the United States pool their money and send it to the missions fund. When that money is sent to the missions fund, when those missionaries get paid, what do you think they do? They praise God. They thank God. And our giving does two things. It meets their needs, but it also results in thanksgiving to God, just like it did here in the Bible. And that is thanksgiving giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray that you would help us to make decisions and to not give grudgingly or to not give because we feel we have to give, but to give because we feel we prayed about it and we've said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you put an amount on our hearts and we say, this is what I want to do. And we give cheerfully, knowing that you're going to bless us for giving and that you're going to do great things with it and that thanksgiving is going to come from that. Now, I wouldn't be doing my job as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I wouldn't be doing my job without saying that if you're visiting with us today, the greatest gift that God ever gave was the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and who was buried and 3 days later rose from the dead and who asked nothing of you but wants to give you everything. Jesus Christ wants to forgive your sins. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you a new life, a life that's worth living, a life that's filled with hope and that's filled with purpose. He wants to give you a relationship with God. And He wants to do that freely. He paid it all so that you could receive that freely. And once you're saved, then He'll give you the desire and the ability to live for God and to get in church and to do all the rest of this stuff. But the first thing you need to know is that Jesus Christ died for you and rose from the dead. And if you'll believe in Him as your personal Savior and receive Him today, no strings attached, He'll come into your life and save you and change you from the inside out. And He'll guarantee you a home in heaven. If you've not been saved, today is your day. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Get saved today by faith in Jesus Christ.